Yeah, thank you, Serena. It's good to be here. We may need to have a meeting about what you mean by antics, but I'm just joking. Yeah, I love to teach these sessions. I love to meditate. I love to share the basics of mindfulness meditation as I understand them, especially with a goal of making it clear how to begin. And from my perspective, the basic instructions for beginning are the instructions for continuing and so forth. And so I do value the simplicity of what we do in meditation, and it continues to surprise me how accessible these methods can be. And of course, I started 3 decades ago when I was a philosophy graduate student. And it's also quite interesting as time goes by to see how even a little bit can make a difference for people. And the emerging science supports that. So what we do in a meditation, we use our ability to decide where we're going to place our attention. And this is a remarkably simple act. It's unusual because it's so simple. I'll invite you to listen to sounds, to tune into sensations in your bodies, and without a big agenda, except to do that, to direct attention, sustain the attention. And it's not that we have to accomplish some job with what we're attending to. We just notice what is presenting itself. And actually, part of the challenge of meditation can be that it is so simple, and that as human beings, we're actually used to complicated jobs with 16 steps and so forth. And so we take our time here. We do muster patience, partly because our minds will tend to kick into gear at some point and start mulling over what we're supposed to do this week, right? So when we realize our attention has drifted, we're daydreaming, we're going through the list and so forth, just that recognition, oh yeah, these are thoughts, thinking. We don't need to micromanage the thoughts, but we can practice not being so automatically swept into one thought leading to another, leading to another, and so forth. But it's not that we're slamming on the brakes so much as just noticing and then paying attention to what's happening in a little wider field. And so with thoughts, they're often our emotions. And with emotions, there usually are some sensations that we can notice in our bodies, especially in the torso chest area. And so with mindfulness practice, when I notice I'm anxious or scared, okay, I include that. I don't try to fight it or fix it directly, but just noticing what the experience is and then shifting back to something that is kind of our home base, the sounds or the sensations in our bodies. So let's begin. Eyes can be open or closed. Might take a few deeper breaths as we begin, slightly deeper in breath and out breath. Letting your breath be normal again. We'll come back to the breath in a minute or two. For now, just notice the sounds you can hear. So this is an activity of our minds, but it's a very simple activity. It's just turning attention to this part of our experience without any sort of special preparation. We don't have to get rid of other things, such as the thoughts or emotions that we may have, or pain, perhaps in our bodies and so forth. Just noticing sounds. It's pretty easy. We don't have to try to hear everything or keep track or avoid just noticing. Sounds come and go. It's fine to stay with sounds. It's a great place to return at times. It's also good to practice with our bodies. So when you wish, letting your attention settle into your body, much the same way, just noticing the feel of your body. So it is something to do, but it's quite doable. Just to turning attention in, and may seem unusual. What can you feel? Your head and shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, feet. And then we let our attention settle somewhere in our bodies where the sensations are real, but not painful. Feel of the ordinary breath is pretty good much of the time. It's the sensations we can notice as the in-breath begins. So rising, tensing in the in-breath, with the in-breath in the belly or in the chest. Falling, softening, dissolving with the out-breath. Low of fine sensations at the opening of the nose. As air comes in, as air leaves. So just knowing when the in-breath begins, when the out-breath begins is a foothold here. If we know that's happening, it's because we're noticing sensations. Just tune in somewhere. For any reason, the breath doesn't feel quite right. Maybe shifting to your hands, into your feet. Just again, the sensations, perhaps back to sounds. So the idea is this focusing, sustaining attention with something relatively neutral, our minds naturally become calmer, more clear, more stable, and resilient. It's not magic. It can take some time, but the invitation is to explore, see what happens. And there isn't a rush. It does take patience. So that's where when we notice we're impatient, we notice that. What does that feel like? Not a huge investigation, just a recognition. Connected with the breath, the next in-breath. And any of the myriad of things that can come to mind, plans and worries and memories and so forth. We're not really setting up a situation here to fight our minds, even when we notice patterns that may not be helpful and so forth. It's the foundation is just recognizing what's happening. Giving ourselves that permission to be real, not to perform or pretend or figure it all out. It's that simple connection with our bodies. There'll be confusion at times. And of course, many things can happen. And so in this field of permission, just to be real, we don't try to micromanage it. And even when our motivation is to handle anxiety better or anger better, in moments in which anxiety or anger appear, we take that opportunity to, and the permission to just notice what it's like. Often there will be a palpable visceral component, what we can actually feel in our chest, is sensations. So we tune into that and then we connect with the breath. So it'll take 2 or 3 more minutes. Still no rush. Still that invitation to be real, just to notice what's happening. Making that subtle but doable effort just to notice sensations connected with the breath. How do you know the in-breath is beginning? That might be vague. Probably you can feel some sensations in the abdomen, the chest, or the nose. The out-breath begins, so forth. The breath does feel a little complicated for some reason. It's shifting somewhere else where the sensations are noticeable, not painful. It's good enough, it's fine. By definition, we're not going to handle the distractions well. There are too many, they come fast. Some of them are quite troubling, thoughts or emotions. Yeah, so it's not a venue here to work everything out and get it perfect at all. Just noticing, just enjoying the permission to be real, to be who you are, without sugarcoating or pretending. Even noticing one breath is not a small thing. So thank you. It's good to practice with you today. There are misconceptions about meditation. At least from my perspective, there are misconceptions. There are dozens of types of meditation, and I don't necessarily understand them all. Relative to the type of meditation we're doing here, it is a misconception to think that we have to try to micromanage our minds. And thank goodness that is a hard, hard job, right? And for example, there can be the idea which a lot of people nowadays seem to have, at least people who come to the classes I teach, where there's the idea where people have tried meditation at some point in the past and concluded that they couldn't really meditate because they couldn't clear their minds. And whatever that might mean, we do not have to do something like that in order to practice mindfulness meditation. I think the misconception gets a foothold because it's actually true that very interesting things can happen in meditation. And, you know, the emerging science is providing more evidence every day that it's good for us, you know, mental and physical health. But beyond that, it is an amazing way just to explore what it is to be human, what it is to have a body, to have consciousness and so forth. And as we cultivate more concentration, which is what we're doing with this mental activity, connecting with something neutral like the breath, very interesting things happen if we do a retreat, take time for it, kind of go into silence and just practice this very continuously for a while. There's no doubt, very interesting things can happen. And Buddhist psychologists over centuries have explored this and described it. And there can be times where there aren't a lot of thoughts. And often those moments, those periods are broken by the thought, I'm not thinking. It's like, okay, well, now I am for sure. And so it's interesting. And those experiences are valuable and they come and go. And it's possible, I don't know why, but it's possible that sometimes meditation is presented as if we're somehow supposed to do that. Or if we're not doing it, we're not doing it right or something like that. In any case, it's definitely a misconception from my perspective as a mindfulness teacher. Indeed, we don't have to do anything to control our experience. Even when we want to, and even when we show up for something like this because we're suffering in some way, which is very normal, it's like, yeah, I can teach with confidence that what we're doing here is relevant to the reality of suffering, whether it's physical pain or difficult emotions. You know, it's part of human life. And those things will come up in our meditation. And when they do, we bring awareness to it. That's why I emphasize the permission aspect, because often we don't feel like we have permission because either we need to perform, we need to get other things done, we just want a solution, right? And so even in our own minds, there's not like room for permission just to feel what it's like to be scared or to be anxious or angry or lonely or grieving. And so with mindfulness practice, we have that permission. We give ourselves that permission. And as a foundation for that, which isn't necessarily easy, it's not that we need to do something complicated, but many of our habits will be trying to pull us away, right? So we practice this cultivation of attention to something relatively simple, like the feel of the breath, the ambient sounds, and so forth. And so that process is always available. It's always part of it. When we are completely confused and freaked out or whatever, that's something we can come back to. And it's a fine to just keep that as the primary focus, to develop these qualities of concentration, clarity, resilience, and so forth, that then help us, it strengthens us for just being real with our lives, with what's actually happening. And it does turn out that when we are motivated to look into meditation because we want to manage our emotions better, lo and behold, it does work, right? But not because we're fighting them or outsmarting them or kind of doing some fancy jiu-jitsu with them. No, it's super unfancy. It's like just bringing awareness. What is it like to feel this with that permission? And this is where having a meditation practice can be useful, because it is a skill that can be learned and probably needs to be practiced. And having the meditation, we're in a context where we aren't performing. You know, we're not trying to make the right appearance or so forth. So we don't have to micromanage our appearance and so forth, which often is a part of the roles that we play with other people. So I'm still trying to figure out why Serena thinks I do antics. Actually, I know why very well. I love teaching this. I love practicing. What I just taught you, the joke gets old, but I just taught you most of what I know that's of importance, seriously. And I'm clear about that. And I have been a philosophy professor in the past. I know how to get complex, but I also have learned that that complexity isn't quite relevant to teaching meditation or practicing it. And so the fact that I don't feel like I have a complicated job of explaining 16 different steps gives me a lot of freedom to have fun also. And that comes through. And I know that, and it is a pleasure to hold these types of spaces. So I did notice a question in the chat. Diana Winston, my colleague, she normally does a similar sort of drop-in on Thursdays. It won't happen this week because of the holiday. And also she's gone on a six-week sabbatical. And so she won't be doing those on Thursdays, but someone else will be. But normally she does the Thursday one. Occasionally she does this one also. And certainly she's available as well. So yeah, thank you all for your practice. Thank you for your attention. And we'll see you.